Welcome to On the Brink with Andy Simon. I'm Andy Simon. And as you know, my job is to get you off the brink. However you're stuck or stalled, our job is to bring you interesting people. And I have a wonderful woman here today who's going to help you see, feel, and think in some new ways, because you don't have a story like hers. And she is an extraordinary role model. So how you can overcome life, life's adversities, and rise. We're going to talk about a bunch of things that are going to touch you as she has touched me. And I think this is such an exciting time. Esther Aguilera is here with us today. And I am very excited because she is a part of our book, our new book, Women Mean Business, that she has there and I have here. If you can see her wonderful picture, she's wearing the same jacket, I think, which I think is cute. But Esther comes to us with the perspective of somebody who has had a journey. I'm going to have her tell you about it, but let me introduce her. She is currently a senior advisor at Altura Capital, but she was previously, she was president and CEO of the Latino Corporate Directors Association, and she built the first national network of Latino CEOs, corporate directors, and C-level leaders. She oversaw the organization's rapid expansion to become the premier resource for Latino talent, primed for the boardroom to accelerate the conversation of Latino inclusion in America's boardrooms. She's a thoughtful, transformational leader, and she's known for driving impact and results. She's a two-time chief executive and a two-time executive director, and she comes to us with a 32-year track record executing strategic business plans and leading high-performance teams. And she's going to tell you more. As you know, my desire is for them to tell you about their journey. It gives you a context for understanding the challenges that she's facing and the way she's overcoming them. But she also tells us that she brings a deep experience and understanding of the intersection between the charitable, business, and government sectors. And I think this is really exciting. She's worked with members of Congress, cabinet members, corporate CEOs and directors, nonprofits and associations. And she's just a superb person. Welcome, Esther. Thank you for being with me today.
It is a great pleasure to be with you, Andy.
Tell the listeners or the viewers, who is Esther? You tell me your story, and I think it's a very important one to set the context for your own journey, the challenges you've overcome and how you thrive, and the joy you bring to others in the process. Who's Esther?
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the question. So, you know, as you mentioned, you know, I have had the privilege of working for our nation's most powerful leaders, from members of Congress, cabinet members. I've organized meetings with the U.S. president and working with the top leaders in the nonprofit space, corporate space, and working with corporate directors. But my path was not a typical one. My family moved to the U.S. from Mexico when I was 4 years old, so I'm an immigrant. We were actually undocumented when we first came. It's a long story, but needless to say, I'm the proud daughter of a landscape laborer and a garment worker. So we had very humble upbringing, but we clearly strived to do our best and contribute and get a good education, which is what landed me in college. And also, you know, I studied public policy. It's not something that, you know, growing up, I would have ever saw myself doing it. I didn't even know what it was. By the way, when I moved, I moved to Washington, D.C. after college. And my parents didn't really understand what I did. Neither did my family. But, you know, here I was in Washington, D.C., moved here in 1990, right after college. And that's where, oh my God, so many worlds opened up, so many opportunities up, and a lot of scary things. I mean, good scary things, but new things that really opened up all new, you know, apertures and experiences and opportunities, again, that I enjoy today.
Well, you know, when you shared with me your story, you said you were, you know, public policy wasn't something you're familiar with. How did you get to Washington?
Well, you know, I was very, very lucky. I had a professor. Well, first, I was visiting Washington, D.C., and I had a professor who I contacted, and I said, hey, I'm in the nation's capital. And he said, well, you know, you need to meet with some of the premier organizations. And he made some connections for me that I was literally just planning to have some informational meetings and then travel back to California to start looking for a job. And, you know, I took the plunge. I had some great meetings with the organization was the National Council of La Raza, which is the premier, today is known as Latinos US. And it's a public policy organization. Went for the informational interview and they offered me a job. And I was just, you know, one in shock and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, here is moving to Washington, D.C. Is that something for me? But you know what? I took the plunge. And this was, you know, another great theme that I like to talk about is I've had some different pivots and new areas and new places. And what's been wonderful was really embracing new challenges has been how I have been able to broaden my horizons and find new opportunity.
Yes, good. But it's interesting because as we think about it, your intention wasn't to come to Washington to get a job. It was to go discover. You were curious. You're an explorer. And you really didn't know what the possibilities were. It was an interesting opportunity for you to land something unexpectedly that has turned into a whole career trajectory for you. And I have a hunch several times during your career, things sort of popped and you went, oh, that could be interesting. Where did your career go from that first destination?
Well, I was lucky to land a job on Capitol Hill. I worked in the U.S. Congress and became the executive director of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. You know, this was, I have had leadership roles since my mid-20s. So you kind of, that's what I love about Capitol Hill is you get great opportunities early and, you know, you are contributing a great deal. And so, you know, that came about also with mentors who put my name in the hat and said, hey, I think Esther would be a great candidate for this because when I was already working on the Hill, when they asked me, is this something you're interested in? You know, the things went through my mind of doubting like, oh, you know, am I ready for this? There's such a big challenge, such a big role, but I raised my hand and said, yes, I will, you know, take on the challenge and contribute everything I've got.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that's one of your five wisdoms. Raise your hand. It puts yourself out there for new opportunities. You don't really know what's happening and how it's going to happen to you, but you're comfortable enough in yourself to say, of course I can. I don't know what that is, and I don't know how we're going to do it, but somehow I know that I can succeed at some level. What are people expecting? Were they clear about their expectations, or they just trusted you to rise to the occasion?
Well, you know, with every role and pivot that I've had, and we'll go into some of those as well, you know, there's always been one, I already had some great ground training, in policy and writing and research. And then I worked as a legislative assistant. So I had some of the base groundwork. And then you take that. And the important thing, what I tell young people is don't go into your next role because you meet 100% of the experience and expectations. You know, you look at a job description and, you know, you want to have space to grow. But you've got the foundation and you take that and you build on it. That's okay to ask for help. It's okay to feel vulnerable to say, you know, hey, I can do 50, 60% of this and I'm going to need some guidance. I can do the rest with that guidance. And it's important to feel that you can be both honest with yourself and know that you can do it. Don't let that hold you back.
Well, I couldn't agree more. We can compare career tracks, but it is interesting listening to you. People talk today about needing mentors or sponsors. I never had any. Did you have them along your journey?
Well, you know, when we talk about sponsors, these are people who, you know, put your name in the hat for you. And so, yes, I did. I mean, my professor who first said, hey, I'm going to make this introduction. And then, of course, you step right in. I had a member of Congress put my name in the hat. Another, you know, mentor of mine, a male mentor, who said, you know, this is someone who could take on that role. So that, I think, for, you know, they saw something in me that I probably wouldn't have raised my hand.
Yeah.
So those sponsorships are so important. And then, of course, you know, down the line.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you didn't even go looking for them to sponsor you or mentor you. You just were good at what you were doing and kept showing up, curious, whatever the attributes were that they were looking for. And there were you. And that was really what's exciting about it is that you can be, you don't have to be intentionally groveling up that ladder. You can just be really good at what you do. People see it and then offer you something and you say, I can do that. And then you rise. Yeah, it's very exciting.
I agree, but I also think it's important. There's so many lessons learned on the journeys that I'm an open book. I love to share. And that is, you know, that while sponsorships are important, let's not rely on them and make sure, one, keep your resume circulating and, you know, raise your hand. And oftentimes, you know, making a transition is really tough sometimes, but keep your eyes and ears open. Keep opportunities open, even when you love what you're doing. Yes. It's okay. You're not, you know, being disrespectful to your current employer. But, you know, I think as you are inquisitive and want to grow, as, you know, I mentioned, I'm in the book, Women Mean Business, and my wisdoms have been around, you know, again, be open to new opportunity, new frontiers. Because that is how you learn and grow.
So one of the things that you and I talked about was a theme. There are two themes that I want to make sure that we dig into. One is about where Latinos and Latinos are today. But the one just prior to that is that we mentioned the fact that you were the child of immigrants and you have led some of the most consequential organizations in the U.S. Did you bring a particular perspective that was extremely valuable? Were you just a young person coming out of college? I mean, how did you blend all of this so that you were you? Because I have a hunch those who were sponsoring you, mentoring you, saw something unique in how you saw the world. Something that you can share? Was that something you can reflect on?
You know, some of my early areas of motivation was really looking at women and how, you know, there was two standards for, you know, what women can do versus men. And, you know, I saw this growing up and I always kind of thought against it and say, why is there that difference? and that was one of the things that just kind of kept me going. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was always very impact oriented. I always wanted to leave a mark and a contribution. And look, we all have superpowers. And I've gotten with the opportunities after working on Capitol Hill, you know, I went to work at the Department of Energy running the procurement office. And in that role, I came in to lead a team of federal employees and gave them real purpose. We reorganized the office and built a high-performing team that was very impactful and mission-driven. Wow. It was a little lost, but the Secretary of Energy put me in charge and says, I want you to fix this. And it's where I discovered some of my superpowers. Uh-huh. Because I was given that opportunity, I already knew that I could, you know, drive change on the legislative front. And I was thinking, how am I going to drive change here? And it's through people and it's through leadership and promoting people for leadership. And so that role, I later went to run a large Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute, which is a internship fellowship organization for young people to get experience on Capitol Hill. I had, you know, so many doors open to me since with my experience, I wanted to make sure others had that as well. And so this organization, I grew it from $4 million to $10 million.
Wow.
And at every stage, just transformed and built an even better solid foundation for the organization for the future. And there again, it's about building a high-performing team and impact. So I found that my superpower is driving growth and impact, but my secret weapon is building high-performing teams where people can, you know, contribute in, and we find ways of finding where they can excel and contribute and grow to the overall, having a clear purpose mission that everyone has a role to play in.
I have several leadership academies I've been running for several years for clients. And one of the things we talk about is that a leader really needs others, followers. A leader can't do anything alone. And so as I'm listening to you, I'm saying you have some magic to empower and enable and engage others so they can rise higher than where they are, grow. They don't have to move up a ladder. They need to grow personally in their skills, their confidence. You said it so well, their purpose, their mission, you know, to have strong values and to see how their actions are purpose-driven and they can actually become part of a team that's delivering extraordinary results. And I have a hunch you had great pleasure when you were doing that, building those teams and building those people, right?
That really was. And again, that's when you find it's your superpower, when you really enjoy doing it. And I, of course, I had another pivot to then start an organization with corporate directors. And we formed the Latino Corporate Directors Association. And that I was able to start from scratch and grow it tenfold to become the premier organization that really elevates, because it's so important to have leadership roles and to have decision-making roles and have a seat at the table.
Yes.
Because if you don't have a seat at the table, you don't matter. That's the bottom line. And so it's part of an important, important work that I'm really proud is now doing even more after having built a really, again, solid foundation, all of the pillars of the that lead towards the impact and the team there to then take it on.
And now a word from our sponsors, Simon Associates Management Consultants. That's us. And we're here to help you see, feel, and think in new ways. Whether you are an organization that's stuck or stalled, or an individual in that organization who's looking to rethink their own life's journey, Simon Associates has designed programs and processes to help you do just that. Our first book, On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights, told the stories of seven clients who were stuck or stalled, and a little anthropology helped them see things through a fresh lens, reignite their growth, and soar again. My new book that came out in January 2021 is called Rethink, Smashing the Myths of Women in Business. It's all about how 11 women, including myself, were able to see past the hurdles, the glass ceilings, and the brick walls, and become the best that they could be. They heard things like women aren't lawyers, and women can't lead, and women aren't in geosciences, and they said, of course we are. And they really pushed through and did it with such ease that they want other women to see what's possible. At the end of the book, I provide a bit of a how-to process for you. If you're on the brink of rethinking your own life's journey, it's time to pause, step back, and ask yourself, where am I going? What's my passion and my purpose? And am I there or can I get there? Send us your emails to info@andysimon.com and we'll get right back to you to see how we can help. On andysimon.com are some free chapters for both books. And you can also join our newsletter and our Facebook group, Rethink with Andy Simon. We are bringing together women to help other women do what they can't do by themselves, very often to see what's possible and become the best that they can be. Come join us. And now back to our podcast. Well, all of this then leads to the community. You know, you and I spoke about how has the Latino community developed, grown, where is it going? How do we get access to positions of power and equal pay for Latinas and Latinos so that the contribution Now, you've had a wonderful solo career, and now you're pulling along lots of others to be able to actually optimize their success as well. Share with us a little of your perspective. What do you see happening?
Well, first, this has always been the second largest demographic in the U.S., at least, you know, in 32 years that I have been working to advance the Latino community in the U.S. from all angles, from legislative leadership and education across the board. And I have to say that it's, you know, in the 90s, we were called, and even the 80s, the sleeping giant, because it was a large group, but still, you know, was more behind the scenes. And I don't think we have advanced as much as we can and we need to. That's why I'm such a believer in having Latinas and Latinos in positions of power and authority, because you have to have a bottom up from grassroots kind of building to leadership as well, and have those important roles across the board, whether it's in government and whether it's in the private sector and the largest corporations of the country. And so that's an important ingredient, because today Latinos are 62 million Americans, close to 20% of the population, you know, a GDP of nearly, you know, 3.5 trillion, which is the same as a fifth largest country.
Yes.
It's massive. And yet we're still not in the positions of power. And we're still, especially Latinas. Latinas are least paid. In fact, the pay gap is the lowest for Native American women and Latinas. Native American women went 51 cents to the dollar that men make in the same jobs. And Latinas are 54 cents. And then, you know, other groups come in. And that hasn't changed much in the past 20 years. So there's still that huge gap. Mm-hmm. In the boardrooms, in corporate boardrooms, Latinas are the single group of any other women's group, any other demographic group, with the least amount of board seats and representation in that boardroom. Latinos and Latinas alike. And so, you know, I think that's why, you know, my philosophy here is that, and this is why we started the Latino Corporate Directors Association, is that you can't complain about, you know, an issue. You can't say, well, it's the search firms, it's this, and we keep hearing, we can't find qualified Latinos for the boardroom. You have to point the finger this way and do something about it. So yes. That's why, you know, a group of pioneering corporate directors launched it and then brought me on board to build it. Because, you know, we have to be the owners of our destiny.
Yes.
And we can't wait for others to solve these things.
Yep. It is important to, you know, it's easy to complain. And it's easier to sort of look at history. But I think you're already beginning to see some small steps, wins, to move the needle a little bit. Anything that you can share that is exciting to you? You know, you want to share your superpower so others feel that they can as well. Do you see opportunities opening up? You said we're still a sleeping giant. You do have a whole lot of people here in this country ready to do some really exciting things. What are you thinking?
Oh, my gosh. We have so much talent. And, you know, in every sector and every industry, it's about really almost showcasing and lifting up the talent that's there so that we take away the narrative and excuse that we can't find them. They're right there. And so, you know, that was, you know, groundbreaking with Latino corporate directors. I'm also advising ALFA, which is the largest Latino professional association in the country, oldest and largest, 50 years, over 115,000 members around the country. And here is an organization that we already has so much membership and, you know, visibility within the community, but it's about letting others in other communities know, here's where you can find the pipeline and the talent for anything you need, and lifting up and showcasing profiles and taking away again that narrative that there's plenty of talent, there's more to grow, and that there's that potential and talent there. And we're here to help make it easy for you to find it.
You know, I'm thinking about two situations. One I mentioned to you was a woman at Washington University when I spoke there on Women Mean Business, who had gotten a scholarship to a high profile Latina woman who had gotten first college from her family. And she had gotten a wonderful scholarship to a very high profile private school, and then had gotten into Washington University with a big scholarship, and was very lonely. And I was, when we were talking, she says, I'm all alone. And it's very hard to be here without a community of others like me who understand the journey I've been on. And I'm not quite sure where I'm going. Am I going back to make money for my family and my community? Am I going? It was most profound. And then I gave a talk down in Houston, and Arturo Lopez, a Vistage chair that I knew, brought in a whole group of Latinas, all of whom are struggling to be heard. And I think that the nature of both media and what we talk about, how we celebrate, where we get the positive superpowers, and how we acknowledge, it needs something to boost it. And as you and I were talking about Alpha and others, it's not a bad time to think through how to rally other Latinas to help build a network of mentors for others. She said, I don't even have a role model. I don't have no one. I've had no role model through most of my education. And I felt I was amazed at her boldness and her bravery. But I also knew that she was going to have to work hard to find some community to belong to that she could lift herself up. So there's a real need. We're going to rise. We need to have others help us. And I've heard that so often from the folks like yourself in our book who said, if as I rise, I lift others. They basically can't do it without others. You know, that's why I said to you, who's your sponsor? Who's your mentor? And how do I get help? And they're not even women. They were all guys. And so there's a real need out there. So now with Altura Capital, are you seeing things that are shareables? You're in the private equity world now?
Yes, my latest pivot. You know, what's exciting about my pivot to private equity was one, you know, in every one of these paths, I have honed in more around my brand. And my brand has been, you know, to really, you know, lift up others. And the firm that I work with, first of all, is Latina-led, Latina founder, CEO, private equity. Her name is Monica Mantilla. And I always say she's probably the pioneer Latina who was founder, CEO, and managing partner of a private equity firm for 18 years. But, you know, the way that she invest in companies, and again, private equity, you already have to have a, you know, profitable company that we can invest in to grow. But she also has a social impact mission. She invests in low moderate income communities that have great businesses and can invest in them to then also create better jobs, better pay, better benefits. And they track that impact. So here you have a firm that's not only, you know, creating yes. value for shareholders, for investors, and for the company, but also an impact in community. That is my brand. So I always have to feel really strong and passionate about what I'm pushing, what I'm driving, and who I'm working with and for. And so I found each step of the way, you know, has always been that for me. And so I always tell folks, find what drives you, what kind of team and environment do you want to be part of, but also how do you help create that team and environment? Because we're all players in it. Developing high performing teams means that everyone brings something to the table, and you want to harness it, and you want to continue to nurture it, to continue to produce even more because you feel part of that mission and drive of what we're all achieving together.
You're a real multiplier, aren't you? It isn't enough for you to have a job and to do things. It's only really good as if I have a team, however big that might be, who also are empowered and engaged to multiply and do more together and better. This is really exciting.
But it wasn't always, and something you and I talked about as well, you know, it wasn't always an easy journey, right? Yeah. You know, a big part was, I've been thinking a lot about, the imposter syndrome. And early in my career, oh my gosh, I had two big things to overcome. You know, one is, here is an immigrant working in the U.S. Capitol. What am I doing here? And someone is going to expose me, right? I found that, in fact, I don't like the term imposter syndrome. There's two sides to it. One, I think most of it is self-inflicting. Mm-hmm. Because let's say as an immigrant, you come here and you're already feeling like an outsider. And, you know, you don't always have the resources to really prop you up and build that confidence that you need to step into some new roles. But you have to find it yourself. And so in terms of the imposter syndrome, as I mentioned, there's kind of two sides to it. I think that other people probably see a lot more when you're feeling that. People see a lot more value and worth and contributions than you do in yourself. So I see it as an opportunity to turn it around and say, okay, well, what am I bringing to the table? And how do I own my own worth and my own contribution? So, the imposter syndrome, you're only diminishing your self-worth. It's about building that up and then building a network and supporters around you that are also going to lift you up, because we all need that. It's okay to ask for help, to say, hey, I don't feel good today, but you're always going to have ups and downs. Okay.
Yep.
That's part of life. It's not always going to be rosy.
But, as you reflect on your moving, and we were talking about how life is a movie and you don't want to end up at the end regretting things, you have been able to champion gently yourself slowly through many pivots, in each one adding richness to your life, and you add richness to that. And it isn't as if there's a straight line. I mean, one of the things that I think is so true is the unknown in front of you can become the best experience. I look to your wisdoms and I go, oh my goodness, Esther is a wise woman. Because that's exactly what we're saying, right? It's the unknown. Usually your brain fights it, flees it, fiercely denies it, appeases it. You have an amygdala that would like to hijack it, but instead you've embraced it and you've written a new story for yourself where it's okay, I cannot fail. I just embrace the new and I'm going to succeed. Imposter syndrome could be a whole other podcast, but I truly don't believe in it. I do think that people are always a little uncomfortable, and it's okay to be uncomfortable. But in fact, the unknown in front of you can become the best experience. And that's right. And once you turn lemons into lemonade, let's do it. What's the worst that can happen? Well, it didn't work. So what? And it's and everything you've touched has turned to good, better, and best. And so you've got a wonderful career. Esther, if you want to leave the folks with a couple of really cool, actionable things, one, two, or three, other than forget your imposter syndrome, we don't need it. What would you share with them based on a beautiful life story? One or two things that you would say, just do it.
Well, certainly one, build that board for yourself around you, that and the group of friends, both peers and a network that you could be there for them, they're there for you. Don't be afraid to ask for help or to say, hey, I'm really happy where I am right now, but maybe I should start putting my resume out and privately talking to people about what I should be doing next. Because unless you put your name out there, whether it's for maybe something new or for a boardroom, people aren't going to have you top of mind always unless you bring it up or let them know. And that in your own mind kind of helps to put you in a position where you can say, hey, I'm ready for this pivot. And the last is those pivots could be scary, but at the end of the day, they do open new opportunities.
Yes. And opportunity is exactly what they are. They're not problems. They're all opportunities. And they are in front of you waiting for you to say, I'm cool. Let's try it. And that becomes a great, great journey. This has been such fun. Thank you for joining us, our audiences, and Esther Aguilera has shared with us today some really profound opportunities that she has lived through with her superpowers. Esther, if they'd like to reach out to you for talking experience, consulting, any kind of work with Altura, how could they reach you? Is there a website or is it through LinkedIn?
I think the best way is LinkedIn, Esther Aguilera. And I look forward to hearing from individuals. It has been my great pleasure, Andy. Thank you for inviting me. I'm honored and just really admire your work. Thank you for what you do for us all.
Well, thank you for that kind ending here. For us all, Esther and I have truly enjoyed being in Women Mean Business. And I think that the most interesting part of a book is you don't really know where it's going, like life. It takes you along. And that's what's happened here. And every time I open it and I read some things, they're all different. There are 500 of them. They really reflect very different perspectives, but very enriching ones. And the energy and the force there. So when you read Esther's, you're going to say, of course, the opportunities are here. Who's stopping me? Except me. And that becomes real important. Let me wrap. For all of you who come to On the Brink with Andy Simon, thank you. You pushed us into the top 5% podcast globally, and I admire that for you because that's your benefit to it. We keep looking for great people that can help us see, feel, and think in new ways. Send them along. Your emails are wonderful, and I keep looking for more people like Esther and others who can share with you their life's journey so that you can see how others have tackled the opportunities or the challenges that they faced. Remember, Women Mean Business is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your local bookseller. So are my other books there as well. So if we can help you take your observations and turn them into innovations, let us know. It's been a pleasure to share the day with you. Esther, I'll say goodbye and thank you so much. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, Andy.